Okay. Alright, we should be good to go here. Alright. So, I understand Tarka is coming to Hood River on May 2nd.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, good. So, I kind of remember, like, way back, you guys might have been here as much as, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, we've been there more recently than that, too, but, yeah.
Okay.
We've definitely been there 10 years ago.
Good. What do you like about Hood River?
What do we like about Hood River? Well, it's a beautiful small town, and we love going there just to be amongst the area. We like the vibe of it, but we go to many small towns that we enjoy. I can't claim that I know Hood River well enough to say that, boy, I wish I could be settling down there or anything like that.
Sure.
My sister has mentioned such a thing.
Great. So, tell me exactly who is in Tarka.
Tarka is Enyan Pulsatiller and David Pulsatiller, husband and wife team. And we have a great bass player named Sean Peterson who's with us. Tarka is essentially the two of us, and we have usually have a team of great musicians along with us. And Sean Peterson is the bass player on this round. Sometimes we have Grant Gordy from the David Grisman Quintet and Sam Grisman from, Grisman's son. And, or Troy Roby is a great bass player. We have, depending on what coast we're on, we have a different team. But this time around, it'll be Enyan Pulsatiller, David Pulsatiller, and Sean Peterson.
Okay, so it's going to be a trio for that show then?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And we are traveling. We were hoping to have a brand new CD released by now, but instead we're still in the process of being mixed. We have to get back home and finish it. But we have a bunch of new material. We still have the CD that we released last year. And we're sort of in a recovery mode. We're trying to tour to help reboot our finances because Enyan and I have owned a house in the little town of Lyons outside of Boulder, Lyons, Colorado. And we were right in the middle of the giant floods of September in Colorado. And our house was mostly wiped away, 7 feet of water.
Oh, my gosh.
And lost most of our possessions in our car and many of our instruments, although we saved many of them, too. So we had about half an hour to get out of the house.
Oh.
So we've been traveling around. Well, we're freed up, so to speak. we've been freed up from our normal trappings, and it's just us, our instruments, our little six-year-old boy, and our dog, and traveling around playing music on CD.
Oh, my gosh. I had absolutely no idea. How long have you guys lived there?
We've lived there about 6 years.
Wow.
We bought the house outright. Grandmother inherited, and that was sort of our nut, so we lost the nut, but a lot of people have been coming around and helping out. It's been going fairly well, hopefully in another year or so we'll be able to start building another house.
You think somewhere back in that area?
Well, I think so. Allow things to change. It's going to be another year before we can even start. Partially bureaucratic, partially just trying to get funds together. So we'll see. But we do love that area.
Well, I mean, the important thing is you guys are okay.
Yeah, we got it out.
Yeah.
I mean, get it, yeah.
Yeah.
When we pulled out, the waters, when I went out of the house at midnight, the waters were up to my ankles, and I realized the flood was happening. And then by 12:30, half an hour later, it was up to my knees. And I was worried we weren't going to be able to pull the van out, so we just had to cut and run. Otherwise, we've been just rolling around playing music. We went to Virginia and stayed with my family for 2 months and began work on our new CD and recorded a lot of it there, most of it, and wrote a bunch of new material. And actually, to be honest, we just sort of put all our excitement, shifts, and interests into playing and traveling and playing more. So we've embraced what we love.
Wow. Gosh, at some point, I guess all that will kind of show up in some songs or something, huh?
Oh, it's in the, we have a bunch of songs with it in there already.
Yeah.
It's already happened. There's more to come. But and with other elements of the situation. But yeah, it's already there.
Great. So, David, give us a little bit of background on when, what got you started playing music, and when did all that happen?
My dad was a musician, and so was Enyan, my wife. Enyan is my wife, and her dad also played music. Her dad played gypsy jazz guitar from the time she was, you know, when she remembers it, you know, infant. My dad also played music, percussion, and guitar, and so both of us really grew up with dads who really romanticized music and played a lot of music, but also had day jobs and wished they could play more. And I think it just sort of seeped into our bones. And Enyan started playing at the age of three. She's been playing violin forever. And I started playing when I was eight. And I started playing some music before then, but I didn't really start playing guitar until I was eight. I played mandolin and guitar. That is. My parents started going through a divorce when I was young, and I found sort of my escape with music. And where I grew up, there was lots of bluegrass and Irish music and rock and roll. And so I grew up playing that music and really having passion for it. And Enyan really became a great classical violinist, but also really a great gypsy jazz violinist. And I also gained a passion for gypsy music and gypsy jazz. So and she also learned a lot of Irish and bluegrass. So we sort of combined, and we just write a lot of music together.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, your life has connected with people that share the same interests, and it has just worked out so well that you've been able to continue to do this.
We've been very lucky. We've been lucky enough to have enough people out there that like what we're doing and support us that we get to keep going.
Oh, good. So what will the new record be called? And go ahead and talk about maybe the title cut off of that.
Well, going to be called Making Tracks Home. You know, I think the title sort of speaks for itself. It's an attempt at poeticism. It doesn't have a song titled that. There's many songs on there that are about our experience over the past year, losing our home, and you know, get all the help and the things that we've gotten through the process. And I also had a major auto accident in Mexico and spent some time in Mexican jail winter, which, you know, the classic thing that should happen to all songwriters, I suppose, except for you know, who wants a good big auto accident. At any rate, great life experience. So the songs that are sort of built up from all sorts of perspectives, process, and there you have it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're okay from having this accident happen. You're okay. You're able to...
I broke some ribs and had whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
And shooken up. And there was basically a car that parked out. And I was visiting Todos Santos in December with my family. It was sort of a Christmas holiday-ish thing that they do every 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go back to the airport, which is 2 hours away, to pick up my stepfather, who flew in to meet us. And it was at nighttime at 8 o'clock, and I drove down in the rental car, and about an hour into the drive, I had cruise control on, and trying to be careful because I was in a foreign country, but this car was parked around a corner in the middle of the highway without its headlights on, without any lights on.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd never seen that in my life. In the States, we don't quite, I just have never seen that in the States. Didn't anticipate it, and ran right into the back of that car. And the car flipped and rolled, and you know, it was totaled. Both cars were totaled. And because I ran into that car, it was my fault. So even though it was in the middle of the road without any lights on. So they put me in jail for a few days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it was an open jail in the middle of the winter. 40 degrees, and I didn't have clothes for it, and they don't feed you or give you water, they have blankets or pillows for you. So it was an intense experience.
So how did you manage to finally get out?
Well, my family was down there, and they you know, worked at it all they could until they could get me out. It cost $3,000, and I made sure the police just kept the money. And there was people in the other car, but there was only a broken wrist that came out of it. Nobody was hurt badly otherwise.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I hope that's the end of the bad luck streak for a while for you guys.
Yeah, you know, I look at it in sort of a Zen parable type of thing. You know, I'm not quite there to say it's bad luck. I'm just It's on the positive side, it's a story. It's a good story. It certainly wasn't pleasant to be in an auto accident or to be in the jail or to lose our house or anything of the sort, but it was an interesting experience. And lots of positive things come out of all of these things. All the amazing amount of people that came to help us with the flood, through the flood, and dig our house out. We had dirt up to my waist throughout the house once the water was finally out of the house after 3 weeks. We also had a tour in Mexico booked a week after the flood, and the floodwaters weren't even entirely out of our house by the time we had to leave. So that was pretty twisting, because we went to a Chihuahua state and did five different concerts around Chihuahua state as a part of the international festival outreach program they have there. And you know, here that we were doing this thing that was an interesting experience, and yet the whole time we're having to, every time we got any Wi-Fi, we were Skype calling and emailing, trying to figure out our next step around the fact that our house had just been wiped away. And there was another house, our neighbor's house actually floated 40 yards into our house. The parts of our house that were still standing floated into it, and it was resting in the tree against our chimney in the front yard tree. It was pretty amazing. Cool deal.
Wow.
So I don't know what else I could tell you, besides we play a lot of music and write songs, and we work pretty hard at it.
Right.
We're going to give a good show.
Well, good. How many, over the years, how many CDs does Tarka have?
Good question. I mean, if we don't include our little EPs and extra bonus things, I think seven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're about to release the seventh, maybe. I think that's what it is.
Oh, good.
And then we, Enyan and I, my wife and I, also played in a band called Bemusement. And Bemusement toured many years, throughout the 90s and early 2000s.
That sounds familiar.
And we were, you know, semi-famous for a while in a certain folk rock-ish world.
Mm-hmm.
She put out a few records with us with that group, and then I was in the group for about 8 years before that, and we put a storm of, you know, probably about 10 CDs on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole different thing.
Sure.
There's also a group called Elephant Revival. Are you familiar with them?
You know, again, it's kind of ringing a bell.
Okay, Elephant Revival is actually they're somewhat famous right now. They're doing very well. They're ranked by NPR as one of the top 10 groups to listen to this year or last year. They've been doing really well throughout the country, and they're a group that both my wife and I produced two of their CDs, and we record our players on their CDs too. But
how good. Well, good. Yeah, it sounds like you have, tons of contacts in the genre of all these bands, and I'm sure it can do nothing but, help with your shows and, you know, what you want to do musically.
Yeah, and well, it's also just great to have all these musical relationships,
mm-hmm.
because it adds the... It adds to everything. I mean, a lot of it's casual, some of it's business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get to have these people, when we play on other people's records, they play on ours, share shows with them. We hang out and share living room spaces and couches to sleep on with them, with us, and so forth. And, you know,
right.
All goes around.
So I have a notation here that you, you bring a tenor guitar to the show.
Yeah, I play a tenor guitar, octave mandolin, and standard guitar.
Nice.
I could probably play more tenor guitar and octave mandolin, especially during the trio shows. I do more octave mandolin and tenor guitar than anything.
Mm-hmm. So you use tenor because that's just more of a jazzier instrument?
No, it's tuned in fifths is the difference. It's tuned like an octave violin or an octave mandolin, an octave lower.
Okay.
At least the way I do it. A lot of people who play tenor play it tuned in, or tune it as a mandola or a viola would be tuned, but I tune it an octave lower.
Okay. So there's a couple different ways to approach that.
Yeah. It's also what you call a long neck tenor guitar. It's more like the standard length of a standard guitar, or closer to it, whereas a lot of tenor guitars are shorter scales.
And I see your wife has a five-string violin.
Yes.
There's a band out there called the String Dusters.
Yeah.
And I think they use a five-string violin.
Very likely. Five strings become all the rage lately.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well, good. How do you bring your stuff on that you've recorded? Is there anything you have to do to your live shows to get what you've recorded out to your audience?
There's songs on our CDs that might have doubled string parts, or maybe we'll do a string section, or maybe I'll play guitar and mandolin on a song.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, it's not going to be too different, or we do like extra harmonies. But most of the time, it's not. We don't do the looping, and we don't really do things like that. We just play. It's going to sound like the same song and the same voices and the same instruments, generally speaking. Maybe it's slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still representative, so I don't think we're really a major concern to us that way.
Oh, good. So I guess over the years you've been doing this, has there been any kind of shift in the type of venue that you play?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's been a lot of shifts. I think in our early days, we were much more. We had a drummer for one. Nowadays, we don't really do drums that much. Maybe some percussion here and there,
but
mostly we don't do drums. The music, the songs have changed a lot. We are all instrumental in our early days. Nowadays, we're as much songwriters and singers as much as instrumentalists, if not even more so, to some extent. So there's been lots of changing, and we do lots of, instead of playing bars, we play, usually, we don't play bars and clubs as much, we play more, we do house concerts or theaters or listening rooms.
Sure.
Things of that sort more often.
Oh, good. And you think that's a shift for the better for your kind of music?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We're not against playing clubs, and it's been better, especially we have a six-year-old kid, and it makes our night mornings a lot easier if we're not playing whatever bars and clubs try to get you to do from like 10 to 1:30 or 2. We get to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
We start at 7:30 or 8, and we can be over by 11, you know.
Yeah. So, does your whole family come on the tour?
Well, it's my wife and myself, and we bring our kid and our dog.
Yep. Oh, good.
The kid also plays guitar and violin and sings beautifully, but we try to do a little bit with him every day.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He only comes up on the stage occasionally.
Well, that's good. He's learning all about that then.
Yeah.
Good.
We've been doing homeschooling with him on the road, and then we have community for him back in Lyon through his friends. That's what.
Yeah. Well, good. So, David, would you consider your overall lifestyle right now to be what a modern gypsy family would be?
Yeah, well, we can get in trouble with that because gypsy is a word that can be considered offensive to people who are actually of the gypsy culture.
Okay.
And in fact, even using gypsy jazz, which is a style of music that we've been referring to and referred, and people said that, it's a style, has a name and it's popular, even that name, it now gets a little bit of bad mouthing, that it's offensive culturally to people who are actually of gypsy blood descent. I think as many musicians travel around a lot to make our living and play music to different people and connect with people all around. I guess we're vagabonds. We vagabond about. But the gypsy word has become something that we use in American culture, sort of just traveling around and sort of being homeless and not ground, rooted to a certain place or a certain home. And that's certainly part of what we do. We like to go rest. We like to go to some place that we can call home.
Mm-hmm.
And take our rest, refuge. But we act as gypsies do, travel around a lot, or vagabond.
All right. Hey, I totally appreciate you guys calling in.
Thank you for taking your time.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I look forward personally to coming out and hearing you guys. Good. All right. Well, look forward to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate you taking your time.
Interesting story. I'm so sorry for your place in Colorado. I hope that gets all straightened out soon.
Yeah, it'll come together one way or another eventually.
Good. Okay, David, thanks a lot. And
thank you.
Look forward to your show on May 2nd.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Okay, take care.